We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the
day. Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. Our brother Rick is out there in the hallway overseeing everything. And our guest this morning, I love you, brother.
Yeah, I had to bring my bodyguard.
Yeah. To pay, protect you from all this.
Something.
Our guest for this morning is Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed. Blessed to be here.
Amen.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. That's what I...
Yep. Hallelujah. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Gateway Church, located right here in Elk City, Pastor Chasten Music. Remember to like, share, and comment so we know that you're tuned in this morning.
Yeah.
I need some more coffee, I think.
Like,
share. My tongue was trying to get tangled.
The fog got to you.
Yeah, man.
From between here and to the east, so you have to drive by faith. I think you sure can't drive by sight.
Right.
Too foggy.
Would you pray to start us out, sir?
I will. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. We're so thankful to you. Lord, the weather here in western Oklahoma is constantly changing, Lord God. Even as I mentioned, it's so foggy out this morning. But that fog is going to lift. We know that the sun is shining right above that fog. And I would just pray, Lord God, that if anybody is listening to us today, and maybe they feel like their life is a fog, that, Father, you'd bring clarity. That you would remove those things that obscure the vision that you want us to have. We pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit through your written word. We, Lord God, offer ourselves to you today, Lord, to be vessels that you can flow through. We ask that your will be done in this program, and we ask that your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven, Father. So much going on, Lord God, but because of you, we don't have anything to worry about. So we thank you today that we can come to your throne of grace, we can open your word, and we thank you for this program. We ask your blessing in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. I like the title.
Yeah.
Too blessed to stress, man.
Yeah. If you'd known, you could have wore your ball cap.
Yeah. I should have messaged you last night as a reminder and asked you for your title.
I would have made, you know me, I wouldn't have known.
No.
I would not have known. I'd say, they say, what are you going to minister? So I say, Bible.
Yeah.
You know, what are you preaching about? And it's like, I don't know. The goodness of God, probably. You know, one preacher one time said, what are you preaching about? Sin. And he goes, I'm against it. You know, it's like, well, okay. I tend to focus on the more positive aspects. Not that avoiding sin is not a positive thing. It is certainly a positive thing because the more we do things God's way, the better life gets. That is a fact. But the truth remains that in this world, Jesus said this. I kind of wish he wouldn't have, but he did. And it is the truth. In this world, you're going to have tribulations. And that just simply means troubles. It means that not everything's going to be easy or go your way all the time. And things are not always going to look fair or seem fair. But we're not to fret or worry or stew because God is for us. And if he's for us,
who can be against us?
Let's open the Bible this morning and get our word of encouragement starting in Psalm 37. Psalm 37, a psalm of David. Man, I love David. I can't wait to meet David in person. I'm going to thank him for all the psalms that he wrote and all the things that he did and just you know, for being, for showing us what a relationship with the Lord looked like. And think about this. He had that kind of relationship in the Old Testament, the kind of relationship that he knew that he said, sacrifice an offering you don't desire, else I would have brought it. He said, but what you desire is a broken spirit, a contrite heart. In other words, someone who's fully surrendered to the will of God. And David knew what it was to go through. I mean, can you imagine being a teenage boy and being out in the field with your father's sheep and you hear that, hey, the prophet has come, Samuel's come. He's over in your living room, and he's already looked at all your brothers and said none of them are to be anointed king of Israel, but he wants to see you. Say what? And you come over there, and Samuel says, this is the Lord's anointed. And Samuel the prophet anointed David. He's just a teenager. He anoints him to be the king of Israel. Now, that doesn't mean, boom, David put on the crown and go, look at me, I'm the king. Oh, no. You to read your history. That opened up, I'm going to put it this way, that opened up a big old can of worms in David's life. Because there was someone who already was the king, and he wasn't looking forward to not being the king. David was a harp player, a harpist. And David would play his harp out in the field to the sheep and just worship the Lord. I think that's where he really learned how to be intimate with the Lord. And the 23rd Psalm that we all love, of course, is obvious that David was, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I mean, he's reflecting back on his time out there with the sheep, alone, just him, the sheep, and the Lord. And David had a lot of amazing exploits in his life between facing the giant Goliath and killing him and killing a bear and a lion with his hands, defending his father's sheep, and then be anointed king of Israel. But it didn't just all fall into place. I mean, King Saul, he had a demon spirit, a tormenting spirit that literally provoked him to try to kill David. David was called to his palace to play the harp for Saul because Saul had a spirit that would torment him. And when David played his harp and ministered unto the Lord, that spirit would leave. What does that tell you about worship? It tells me this. If you're having struggles in your life and you're feeling confused or you're feeling angry, you're feeling tormented by things going on, put some worship, anointed worship on, and just let the worship of the Lord so wash over your spirit and see how the peace that that brings. And that David, who went through all this, now he's playing his harp for Saul one day, and that spirit comes on him, on Saul. And he literally takes a spear and tries to pin David to the wall with it. Missed him, because God wouldn't let him hit him. But, I mean, it was a battle. And then David, you know, Saul tried to kill him over and over and over and over. David had to flee for his life. And even when David was king, it wasn't all a bed of roses. You can read all about it. It's all recorded for us. But David wrote this Psalm 37, and he said this. He said, don't fret because of evil men, and don't be envious of those who do wrong. For like grass, they'll soon wither, and like green plants, they'll soon die away. You got to keep everything in an eternal perspective. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's one of my favorite verses. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he'll do this. He'll make your righteousness shine like the dawn, and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him, and what? Do not fret. When men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. I saw something kind of interesting. I thought it was interesting. I didn't know if it was even true or not. I was on YouTube, and I was looking something to watch, kind of catching up on some of the news that's going on in the world with the Israel and this and that and the other. And it said, all of a sudden it said, Oklahoma Senator Mullen invites Democrat witness to a fight. Literally, these two guys, Senator Mullen from Oklahoma, who used to be a UFC fighter back in the day, and here's this witness, this, I don't remember what this guy's title is, but you know how they are. You know how it goes. If they're called in to testify before the Senate, it more than likely they're involved in things they shouldn't be doing. They're not doing their job. I mean, them senators, they'll grill them. I mean, it's interesting to watch sometimes, but they get so sideways that Senator Mullins kind of forgets himself. I mean, he's from Oklahoma. And this guy provokes him. I'll go with you anytime, any place, you know. And he goes, let's go right now. And he's like, you know. What the reason why I bring that up is this. It's like he lost perspective. Now, this person that he's interviewing, they're not doing right by the American people. And it provokes him because, I mean, Senator Mullins, he wants things to be, you know, like they should be. And he began to fret. I'm going to put it that way. He began to fret. Now, look at this verse again, that last one I read. He says, refrain from anger and turn from wrath, and do not fret. Why? It only leads to evil. It only. I like my Bible. I say only is underlined double with red ink. It only leads to evil. So if you catch yourself fretting, you're literally setting a course for there's nothing but evil going to come out of that. No good ever comes from fretting. You know, if you go to a doctor and your blood pressure's high, they're going to ask you about your diet and that, but they're also going to ask you about your stress levels. They'll talk to you about your stress levels. If you go to the dentist and your teeth are all ground down, you know, they're going to ask you about your stress levels. I'm speaking from personal experience. They're going to ask you about your stress levels. We don't have any reason to be stressed, in all honesty. I'm not saying we can't be. If it was automatic, he wouldn't have to tell us. So he literally tells us, don't fret. Do not fret. The very first word we read of David in verse 1 of Psalm 37, he goes, don't fret because of evil men. Don't fret because of Mr. Putin in Russia. Don't fret because of Mr. Zelensky in Ukraine. Don't fret because of Mr. Biden in Washington. Don't fret because of this or that or the other. Don't fret. Well, the economy, don't fret. Well, this, don't fret. Don't fret. Why? It only leads to evil. Now, is that a choice? It's a choice, and we have to keep making that choice because there's always going to be something popping up that's going to try to make us fret. And in David's case, you can tell it's pretty obvious that what was causing him to be tempted to fret was that there were people that were literally evil that weren't doing things God's way that were opposing David. He's king of Israel, and they're opposing him. You know, maybe if you were Benjamin Netanyahu today and you're the prime minister of Israel with everything that's going on, you might have to look in the mirror and tell yourself, hey, don't fret because of these evil people over there in Hamas. Don't fret because of evil men. And then he goes, don't be envious of those who seem to do it wrong, taking the shortcuts. Don't ever think that just because they look like they might be succeeding, don't think that they are, because they're not. They dig a pit for others to fall into. Does that sound scriptural to you? But they themselves are the ones that are trapped by it. He said, like grass, they're going to soon wither, and green plants, they're soon die away. In other words, we ought to keep everything in a spiritual, eternal perspective. Next time you're tempted to get into stress and start fretting, stop. Just stop. Hit the pause button and ask yourself this kind of silly question, but crazy. Will this matter 100 years from now? Most likely it won't. So should you get really all that worked up about it? No, you should not. But it's a willful choice. Don't fret. It only leads to evil. Let's go to the gospel of Luke. I can't even say don't fret without thinking about this particular account. And I'm going to tell you straight up, I've been on both sides of this fence, what we're going to read about these two sisters. Luke chapter 10. I've been on both sides of this equation more than once. Luke 10, verse 38. Luke 10, 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. So I get the impression she's the oldest sister. Their parents are gone. She has her own home. Says it's her home, so she's not married. Otherwise, it would be her husband's home. So she's either widowed or she was smart enough not to get married. No, marriage is a beautiful, wonderful gift from God. I mean that, too. So this woman named Martha opened her home. She's in charge. Whose home is it? It's her home. She's Martha, and she's in charge. Just want to make that real clear, okay? So she opens her home to Jesus. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. I guess that's baby sister Mary. But Martha was distracted. By what? I'll bet you next Thursday morning every woman around, every person around will tell you what they're distracted by. Preparations for the meal. You ever have family get together and it stresses you out? I've told Sharon more than once, people are coming over to visit. They're not coming to buy the house. Okay? I don't need to clean out the storage room that has a double lock on it just because people are coming over. We get distracted. We get stressed out about all the preparations. I mean, and listen, man, if Jesus would come into my house, I'm not going to lie about it. I would want everything to be awesome. I want the meal. I want the meal to be great, and I want the meal to be served on time. It torques my wrench, man, when we're having family get-togethers. My family ain't listening this morning, so I'm going to just dog on them. They're busy. They're too busy to listen to me. Not just now, but I've heard it before, Dad. I've heard it. No, but seriously, we'll be getting together for a family gathering, and inevitably, I don't care how hard you work to get everything ready at the same time. What are you laughing about? Get everything ready at the same time. Somebody's late, and I don't like late. I do not like late. I would rather be early. Rick and I were sitting out here this morning 20 minutes early. I don't usually come 20 minutes early, do I? No, I do not. But I don't usually come late either. You know, you wouldn't almost, if I walk in late somewhere, you can bet something very, very unexpected happened because I'm just not going to be late. Well, at my house, I work my brains out to try to make sure that, like, especially on Thanksgiving, if we say we're eating at such and such time, which we don't eat at 12 o'clock noon because there's too much to get done. You got a whole 30 whatever something people coming to your house. There's a lot to get done. So we usually say we're going to eat at 1 or one time we said, we're going to eat at 2. I'm like, good grief. Thank God I got pecan pie to eat until then. I just had me several pieces of pie and a big breakfast. But inevitably, I don't care if you start at noon, 1 or 2, inevitably somebody ain't ready. Somebody didn't show up or somebody can't make it. And they were bringing such and such. Now what are we going to do? And all of a sudden, I find myself being Martha. No, I'm not having an identity crisis. I'm having a mind-thought control crisis because I'm starting to fret because I want everything to be just so-so, and I want it served all at the same time, and I want it all to be hot, and I want everything to come together and just be right. Well, that's what Martha wants. She's got Jesus coming. Jesus. You know the Messiah? Jesus. They knew he was the Messiah. They didn't understand everything about what that meant, but, I mean, he's so special to them, and they love him, and he loves them. You can learn about that later when they have a problem in the family when their brother gets sick and literally dies. But don't worry, Jesus raised him from the dead. But here, this is all before that, and Jesus is in their house, and Mary is literally just sitting at the Lord's feet, just listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations. And she came to him. She came to him. Who's him in this story?
The Lord.
The Lord, Jesus. She comes to Jesus, and she asked. She asked, first of all, Lord, don't you care that my sister left me to do all the work by myself? Let me just pause a minute and say this. Anytime you start a sentence and you're addressing God or the Lord Jesus Christ with, do you not care? Okay, immediately you should stop and slap yourself in the face and go, you're off track. You know, remember the disciples in the boat with Jesus in the storm? These are experienced fishermen. This storm is wicked. This storm is literally a spiritual thing. A demon caused that storm. wasn't just a natural storm, although it was certainly affecting the natural. The wind and the waves were howling, and it was so bad that the disciples literally became convinced, four of them being professional fishermen, became convinced that we are about to die. We've been on this sea. We've been fishing this thing since we were little boys. We have never seen it like this. They're terrified. We're going to die. You know what they do? What's Jesus doing? He's in the back of the boat. That's the best place to be in a storm, by the way. He's in the back of the boat on a cushion, sleeping, because he's tired. He's worn out. He told them, get in the boat. We're going to go to the other side. When Jesus tells you we're going to the other side, what are we doing?
Going to the other side.
We're not drowning halfway there. Take him at his word. We're not drowning halfway there. We're going to the other side. But instead of just saying, well, the Lord said we're going to the other side, and they could have stood up and said to that storm, storm, you be quiet. We're going to the other side. He said so. He said, well, they don't have that kind of authority. Really? They went back there. Jesus asleep on the cushion. You know what they did? They had the audacity because they were overwhelmed, stressed out. I would be stressed out, too, if I thought I was about to die. They go back there to Jesus, and they say, Lord, do you not care? We're about to perish. Listen, that is not what you want to hear. Somebody shaking you awake, go, do you not care? I mean, you do that to me, I let Monica throat punch you. I probably wake up in a bad mood, but Jesus is so gracious. They said, do you not care? We're about to perish. He gets up, says to the storm, peace, be still. Whew, immediately the storm is stilled. And then he looks at the disciples and he goes, oh, you of little faith. That's a nice way, well, kind of nice. It's a nice way of him saying, you were never in any danger. You were not in real danger. You have me with you. And secondly, this, if you would use your faith, you could have done the same thing I just did. He literally told him that. You don't believe me? Go read it. Go read it in Mark's gospel, Matthew's gospel. Go read it. He literally implies to them, you could have handled this situation. It was never outside. I've given you everything you need, and you were never in any real danger. But you let your mind go racing. You started taking on anxiety. You started allowing yourself to fret, and all of a sudden, now you're back there shaking me awake on the cushion when I desperately need some sleep, telling me how you think I don't even care. Well, here's Martha. Her life's not in danger. You're not looking at a storm, and we got the boat back here, don't we, Monica?
Yeah, I am.
Her life's not in danger. But listen, you can make a crisis out of anything. I mean anything. It's like, I can't find my car keys. I can't find my car keys. I got to go. Well, just use the spare set right there. No, I want to find mine. No. You can make a crisis out of it. They'll show up later. If they don't, you can get some more. I can't find either set. Well, get a ride. You know, you don't allow it to overwhelm you. Martha has a crisis. Oh, my goodness. It must be just like the end of the world, because Jesus is in their home, and he is teaching. Literally, he is sharing God's heart by speaking. Martha's distracted with all the preparations. I probably shouldn't. I will anyway. I don't care. She probably just needed preparation H. She was messed over with the preparations. You can delete that later. She came to him, came to the Lord. Lord, don't you care? My sister left me to do all the work by myself. And then she does this. She crosses over from asking, and she begins to boss Jesus around. Tell her to help me. You tell her to help me. Jesus, you tell her to help me. Now, it would be awesome if we hadn't all done the same thing. I know I have. I've let it get to me before where I literally went to the Lord and someone might be watching and they'd say, well, he's praying. Is that what you call bossing God around? Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that's not how we should pray. But there are times where we're literally stressed out and we go before God and we start telling him how he needs to do it. That's exactly what Martha's doing. You know what she's doing? She's fretting. And you help me out. Help me remember Psalm 37:8. Refrain from anger. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. If you allow yourself to entertain those thoughts that are causing that pressure and that fretting, it's only going to take you from there to worse. You're going to start accusing the Lord of not caring. Y'all would never accuse the Lord of not caring. You let enough stuff start stressing you out, and you will have that conversation. And Mr. Yah-Yah himself, the accuser, starts screaming in your spiritual ears, well, if God really love you, if God really love you, why is this happening? If God really love you, why are you sick? If God really love you, why don't you have the money you need? God really love you, why would they say that? Any sentence that begins with, if God really loved you, is a lie from the pit of hell, and you ought to treat it as such. Listen, I have a note over here, way over here in these notes, says not every thought you have is true.
And that's the truth.
Not every thought that comes into your mind is a true thought, and it's not even, not every thought's even a good thought. And you better be monitoring, you better be monitoring those thoughts. Because it's impossible to be anxious or fret without having thoughts. And what you're thinking about, Martha's thinking, how am I going to get everything done? We've got all these guests. I don't know what to do. I mean, even Jesus is here. And look at her. Look at her, baby sister over there. It's just sitting there like there ain't nothing to do. It's not fair. Not right. And she's thinking that. She had to be thinking that to the point where it just literally tripped her trigger. And all of a sudden she just drops that dish, walks in there where Jesus is teaching, and she literally interrupted him. Literally interrupted him. Excuse me. You know.
I wonder how long the pots and pans were banging in the kitchen before she came out.
Yeah, that's the truth, ain't it?
I know anything about that.
Yeah, you wouldn't know. Oh, well. I'm glad we've never been, Martha, huh? Glad we've never been. But listen, we want to focus on being the right balance. You can't just spend your entire day, every day, all day long, just sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening and being so focused on what he has to say that you're not doing anything else. You have to live your life. I mean, somebody got to make preparations or nobody eats. But would we die if the meal was just a little later? Apparently, Jesus wasn't too worried about it. Mary wasn't too worried about it. But Martha certainly was. And she's literally accusing the Lord. Do you not care? Do you not care that my sister left me to do the work? And then she just literally bosses Jesus. You tell her to help me. I'm going to just give you a heads up. He don't listen to her. He doesn't do what she says. Here's a newsflash for you. You're not the boss of God. I'm going to take that. I better write that down. Write that down for me. Write it on my forehead backwards so every time I look in the mirror it says, you're not the boss of God. He's God. You're not. And he's good.
I'm not.
Well, you said it. Jesus said there is none good but God. So we can all say, well, I'm not good, but God in me is really good. Mm-hmm. Amen. Jesus responds to her boss and tell her to help me. Verse 41, Luke 10, if you don't know where we're at. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things. See, he knew it wasn't just one thing that set her off. But only one thing is needed or needful. Or some translates say only a few things are needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Mary chose something. Martha chose to fret. Martha chose to worry to the point where her thought life overwhelmed her emotions. She bursts in there, questions whether Jesus cares. Whether in essence, she's saying, are you the God of justice or are you not the God of justice? Because do you not see that she is not pulling her part of the load here? I mean, she's literally, if you really want to bring it down to it, she is literally questioning the integrity of Jesus. And do you not care that she's not helping? And then she literally stakes it a step further and goes, you need to tell her to help me. I can only imagine the look on some of the people's face sitting there. You know, it's like, did she just boss Jesus around? Yep, she did. And you know what caused it? Stress. Fear. Stress. I'll tell you a funny story. One time I was quail hunting. I had this bird dog. Wasn't the greatest bird dog in the world, but he would hunt. It was a boy bird dog. He was kind of dense. He'd point quail, but he'd point everything else, too. He's a pointer. He'd come on point. You never knew what was going to be in there. You know, I mean, we'd be hunting, and he'd come on the bushes, and he'd lock down. He'd cock his head, look in there. And, you know, a lot of time it was quail. If it wasn't quail, a lot of time I'd have got rid of him in a hurry. But most of the time it's quail, but not every time. Sometime it might be a rabbit. Like, well, he's hunting. One day, I got him out there. We come up on this pile of brush, and he locks down boy points. I got my shotgun ready to shoot some quail. I said, get in there. Get in there. And boy, he jumps in there, and there's an armadillo in there. And the armadillo got so scared at this pointer bird dog lunging at him. Now, armadillos are generally pretty docile. They'll run away, get a little bit, they'll hop. They run weird. They hop, run, and then as soon as they got enough space, they'll dig, and they'll hunker down and just use that God-given armor. The only part of their back will be sticking up is that shell. That's what it's for. It's not armadillo in the half shell. But this armadillo got so stressed out that he forgot himself. You know what he did? This armadillo literally attacked my bird dog. Jumped on that dog's head, I guess scratching him, whatever. They don't got little bitty mouths. They eat bugs. They couldn't bite you. I mean, it's like not like they're going to tear you up. And they got some claws. But he jumps on this bird dog, and the bird dog's like, ay, 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 you know, whatever. You know, and I thought to myself, I remember thinking even way back then, it's like that armadillo thinks he's Godzilla. You know, it's like what happened was that fear, stress, anxiety literally caused a transformation of his personality or of his nature. I'm not saying an armadillo has a personality. But his nature is not to attack something like a pointer bird dog that's 5 times, 10 times bigger than he is. His natural response would be to hunker down and bury himself. But he didn't go with the natural response. Stress caused him to act in a way that was not natural to his nature. Do you know why fretting always leads to evil? Because fretting will always cause you to act in a way that goes against who you really are. If you're a follower of Christ and you trust God, that's your lifestyle, you get too stressed out. You won't trust God. You won't follow Christ. You'll have a Martha moment. So if today you're feeling yourself pulled and stressed and whatever, you need to deal with it. Acknowledge it. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to sweep it under the rug. You'll trip over the bump. Bring it out there. Acknowledge. I am having such anxious thoughts, and I know they don't come from God. And now we're going to talk about when we come back how to deal with that. So don't lose us. But if you got prayer requests, get them to us. We're going to pray. We're going to release our faith and believe God for some powerful things to be done in Jesus' name. Amen.